This is Ron Moss from the Heart. I guess you all know that today, I think it was on Twitter, that Ron DeSantis has now thrown his name in the hat. We all knew that that was coming and knew that that was going to happen because, again, you started hearing, I guess he started hearing voices of people telling him that he should run. Of course, you know, most of those voices were people that line up with him on what he's doing in Florida. And what he apparently is being told through his leadership team that most people in all the other states are agreeing with him that what he's doing is right. And so he's a shoo-in to be president of the United States. You already know that Trump has entered in, and we're talking about people from the Republican Party. Trump has entered in. He entered in early and is still the front runner, still spewing the same story that the election was stolen, still spewing the same story that the election was fake. You still hear, now you hear that Tim Scott has jumped in, and Tim Scott made a comment some time ago that there was no more racism in America. And again, when he had an opportunity to help, you know, revamp some laws as it related to gun violence and other things, that kind of fell by the wayside in South Carolina. Then we have Nikki Haley, who threw her name in the hat, and it's ironic that she's kind of using her race. As she doesn't, you know, have an issue with race or to use that as the card to be electable. And, you know, if you remember during the time that she was governor, when those folk were killed in the church in Charleston, she was very instrumental in making sure the state flag got pulled down, the rebel flag, or what do you want to call it, got pulled down from the Columbia State House. I think I've named just, and there's an Indian brother, I'm sorry, I don't know his name, that is also running for president. I don't know his name, but I think that's about six people, maybe I'm miscounting, I don't have it in front of me, that are now running for the office of the President of the United States of America. Now, believe it or not, I can remember when Arnold Schwarzenegger decided to run for governor. And Arnold Schwarzenegger didn't really have a political background. He was a superstar. He was a movie star. He was a professional bodybuilder. That was his background. But the one thing that he had going for him in California was that he was popular. And he was able to use that to become governor, and he won. And I guess if you get the right people around you that will do the bidding and do the work for you, then I guess, you know, depending on what the qualifications are, and obviously they weren't, you know, to be experienced in that position, that people can run. You remember when Ronald Reagan, he did have some political experience, was a former movie star who ran for office. And I guess I can go on and on and on. But here we are now. And I would imagine that there's probably going to be some Democrats who are going to step out and decide that they are going to also run for president. It would, you know, and I guess where I'm going with all of this, this is kind of where I'm going, that exactly, you know, I don't really believe this is where I'm at now. And somebody's going to have to really spend some time with me convincing me that the latest, greatest president that we've ever had, or I could say probably one of the most productive presidents that we've had, given the situation that he was in when he became president. And I would ask you to go back and look at that history. Don't look at the rhetoric. Look at the history. Somebody told me a long time ago, don't get hysterical, but get historical. So before you get hysterical, get historical. I believe that Barack Obama still stands out to me as one of the greatest and best presidents that we've ever had. You know, his conduct, his character, his demeanor for 8 years was on point. And given the fact that when he became president, the first thing that the Republican Party did, they didn't make it anything that was behind closed doors. They were very public about it, that we're going to make sure that he becomes a one-term president. Now, if you don't understand what that means, that we're going to do everything we can, not for anything that he brings up is passed. You know, you're told that day one coming in, that we don't even care about we don't even care about the American people. That's not even, forget about all of that. This is about our egos and about us being mad that you somehow became president of the United States. And so here we are now in 2023. And look at the candidates who are running in the Republican Party for president. And I guess my question would be to you all who listen and who follow politics, that which one of these candidates are speaking or representing the whole of America? I think that most of them have spoke against or have not really said anything positive for transgender. They definitely have issues with the whole woke theory. They have issues with critical race theory. They obviously have issues with Black history. And so, if America is still the melting pot for so many people, which one of these folk who are running actually represent the melting pot? You know, in reality, who does? Now, let me say this. I was never a complete fan, because I want to be as honest and transparent as I can. I was never a complete fan of President Biden, because, again, I didn't get hysterical. I looked at the history of President Biden. He did some things that were wrong. He spoke out in certain situations. If you follow the trial, and I've spoke about this before, when Clarence Thomas became Supreme Court Justice, Biden was over that. There was people who wanted to, there was women who wanted to also speak about what Clarence Thomas had said and had did, and him being the head of that could have made that happen, and he didn't. Back when he was senator, there was times when he also spoke about, as far as crime and what he was going to do about crime. And it wasn't really lining up where he was supporting African-Americans in a way that he was looking to solve a problem. He was more a bully in the bully pulpit. And so, again, you know, his record is not totally clean either. His hands are not totally clean. But he had to change, and he had to show that he had changed. He had to show that he came a long way for Barack Obama to ask him to be his vice president. And I just believe that he's been able to show that in some way. I won't give him a 100% check off, but still he makes some decisions that I still don't. I think sometimes that, unfortunately, you know, folk who are in Washington or who are blessed to have these positions of power. Governors, senators, people who sit on the House who have been blessed to have this kind of power. I think the one thing that goes against them is that they don't have people, everyday people, who sit around the table with them. The people that sit around the table with them are people that have no contact with the real world. They're too busy pleasing them. They're too busy working for them that they have no real contact with the outside world. They really have no contact with their constituents that they're supposed to be working for. And so all decisions that they make are based on the interactions of what happened in the House, based on the interactions of what happens in the Senate, based on the interactions of what happened in the governorships, based on the interaction of what happens in local politics, based on the interactions of what happened at the Capitol. None of the decisions are really based on people who are out here living day in and day out, surviving day in and day out, hoping and praying that those folk who've been elected are trying with due diligence to make our lives better. Do we believe that? Do we hope and pray that they're doing that? But this is really what I want to say. I got a couple more minutes here. African Americans, black folk, Negroes, whatever we call ourselves now, we really got to stand up. I meet people every day who still haven't voted. And believe it or not, there's a group of people out there that pray we never continue to vote. They pray that they say and do, or really they don't have to. They pray that we, people like me and others who talk about the importance of voting, they hope and pray that they continue, our own people continue not to listen to people like me. That they continue to believe that voting doesn't matter. And so the people like the Ron DeSantis and the Trumps and others are allowed to go into office and just serve a group of people and not really serve the whole diverse America. That's not the goal. And I don't want anybody sitting in the highest position of the land who don't have the concern for everybody. Transgenders, gays, straight, whatever, black, white, purple, brown, whatever, whoever is living in America, that job of the president, that job of the governor, that job of the senator, that job of the person in the House, that local politician is supposed to care about everybody. And it does not make sense for you to line up with a certain group of people because you think by doing that, you win. You may win temporarily. Thank God trouble don't last always. The time will come. Change will come. Sam Cooke probably said it better than anybody. A change is going to come. Come on, folk. Let's wake up. God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. Oh, yeah. Peace.